I sure did. Hello, 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 everyone. We are back. It is a week or two. No.
It's been 2 weeks, Mother.
Oh, man. 2 weeks since we recorded a podcast.
It's like a wormhole. We just appeared. I popped out of nowhere.
A wormhole?
Yeah.
And you are so descriptive with your words. I can't even imagine myself coming out of a wormhole. Like, what are those anyways? Are those like the black holes in the universe?
They're opposite in the black movie. I don't know.
How are you, by the way, Alexander?
You know what, Mom? I am fantastic. How are you?
Very good. Yeah. I've missed our podcast terribly. I feel like today where we could have done 80 podcasts, and we did take a break, and we didn't want to take a break. It wasn't by choice. I had an emergency, family emergency come up with my beautiful mother, and I had to leave the country to tend to her, and thank God everything is okay. It's funny how the last podcast we recalled does God exist, and literally like after that, I kept asking that question because I thought, how could all of this be happening? You know, she had a appendicitis that went really bad, and she was out of the country with my grandmother. She was with her, and she had an emergency surgery. Thank God, everything's okay, and if I could tell you more of her story, it's pretty unbelievable. Lots of miracles that show me that God is there. At the same time, I was questioning, you know, like, how could you put us through this? But I think it was a big, because God doesn't put you through anything. I think you put yourself through things with your own mind and thoughts, you know, about the situation. But it was a big wake-up call because my mom is young. She's in her early 50s. She looks like she's in her 30s, so she's an amazingly healthy woman. And to think that we could have lost her really was the scariest thing that I could probably ever think of, which is why it's so appropriate for us to be doing this podcast today about going beyond fear. Because during the time that I had to spend with her in a little ranch in Mexico, a little pueblo, with no internet connection, I really had to leave, in essence, the cocoon, because I felt like I had already left that, and I felt like I was this butterfly that had flourished, and you know, there was an awakening process that was going in me. But going to Mexico and being there with my mom, seeing her, how this woman that is more courageous than life and never sits down and never stops, really had, and being over there with her, taking care of her. I've never taken care of my mother. She's always taking care of me, you know, seeing her so vulnerable, and then just thinking that what could have happened. And then also seeing older people, because everybody who's left in Mexico at these points during this time is just older people with illnesses. So I had to face a lot of things, and I couldn't run away by not talking to these people. I listened to them with their illnesses. Most of them were over 80. You know, that live there and that just are, you know, literally waiting to die. It's insane, insanity. But at the same time, facing all of those fears, because one of my biggest fears is death, you know, thinking what's going to happen. And not necessarily what's going to happen to me. I just feel bad, like, leaving people behind. That's what really bothers me. It's really weird. But I didn't have a choice being over there and facing this with my mother. And not only that, I didn't have anything to run to. So here, sometimes when I have fear, you know, you can go work out, you can drink wine, you can, you know, the wine really helps me kind of de-stress. And over there, I was just in so much shock, and I'm sure you could buy wine, but I wasn't even thinking of getting it. I was just like, this is something that I've got to really face, and face the thought that perhaps I could have lost my mother, and it was very, very difficult. And so I learned, I was out there for a little over a week, and I learned a lot about facing your fears, thinking that you've already faced them, but realizing how some of the life's biggest fear you've never faced yet, even. And then number two is how to transcend them and go beyond them. And if it wasn't for my A Course in Miracles and the Shambhala, the path, the sacred path of the warrior, I don't think I could have done it. And even right now, I think I would have still been judging and asking, why did this happen to my mother, you know? I don't want this to be a sad podcast because we started off all excited and everything like that, but I wanted to throw that intro in there. And I want to talk about what people consider fear, and also how to actually transcend it. What are some of the biggest spiritual books telling us and teachers telling us about fear? And is it even possible to live like a life without fear? Because if you would ask me this question 10 years ago, I would have said no. And now, thank God, because there's symbols, which are literature to me. Symbols are words to me. They're not necessarily, there's not one that's right and one that isn't. It's almost like you just are being pointed to the direction. And I think the biggest thing is because in the end, all of us have one thing in common, and that's certain, is that we're all going to die, right? Yes. And so whether you decide to be a coward your whole life and pretend like it's not going to happen and live like offending people, insulting people, being at war with people because you're going to live forever, unless you're like a Rockefeller who has all this money and who probably has will be growing their or cloning their bodies in another planet. But the thing is that we forget that we're going to die, and that's called being a coward because you're not.
I don't even necessarily think we forget about it. I think it's always in the back of our mind. What is it called? There's this German word called the Harne der Darke or something like that.
Wow.
It's just a thought that's always in the back of your mind. I feel like that's what death is. We just don't. We obviously just put it back because we don't have the courage to face it. We've talked about death before.
Yeah, and you know, death is the ultimate fear because that's why we're going into this. But there are so many other fears that we go through every single day of our life. We have a fear. Maybe if you've been in a car accident, you have a fear of getting in the car and being hit again. Maybe you're afraid of losing one of your children. Maybe you're afraid of one of your children going crazy or something or doing something bad. Maybe
we're just feared of not going the way that we want it, not having that lack of control.
Yeah, lack of control. That's exactly how I would have described it. Basically, to me, fear is not having your reality the way you picture it and either losing something or lack of control or being afraid that, you know, that who you are is not good enough almost. It could be a fear at a job, you know, maybe you're getting a new job and you're not good enough to actually carry this on. There's also a big fear of just, I think people like, what is that word that you just said, Hawker?
Hinda Kudarka?
Yeah, the thought that sits in the back of your mind. I think it's associated with the fact that many people in this world are not living their dharma. They're not living their actual life. You know, people wake up in the morning, they go to work, they come back home, and they do this every single day from Monday to Friday. Maybe the weekend they're lucky to have off and go run errands, clean their freaking house. And what kind of life is that, right? So in the back of their head, maybe they have these thoughts of who they really should be, but they're afraid to ever execute on them or move forward on them because why? You have to pay bills. You have to do all that. So fear comes in very different forms. It comes in, and I love that video that you showed me that actually shows how it actually does change the chemicals in your brain, in your mind, you know? Fear is a real feeling, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Then it causes different feelings like anger, stupidity, and that anger causes stupidity and stuff like that. Just all connects together, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like when you're thinking something is going to happen that's bad. It may not even be happening to you yet. You may be worried about bill collectors. You may be worried about what you saw on the news, a murderer that killed somebody, and then you're like, oh, my God, what if that happened to me? But even if it's not really happening to you, it is proven and scientifically that it actually changes the chemical balance in your body. Like, literally, I don't know about you guys, but I remember there was a time when I used to get, like, speeding tickets a lot. So now every time there was a cop behind me, even if I wasn't speeding, it's like my hands started getting sweaty. You know, I was like,
made out of chemicals. Just release.
And I think one of the biggest things about combating fear is that when it hits you, and sometimes it feels like you can't control it, like you can't control your thoughts, right? That's happened to me all the time where I'm like, now what's beautiful is the thing that has saved me is awareness. So I think it's in a fearful situation, it's very difficult to be aware of who's actually feeling this fear. Like, you know, it's not like who's perceiving this? Who really did? Is it real? Because I think when you become more and more aware of your thoughts and you start thinking, oh, there's a cop behind me, and it goes back to your conditioning of the past of, oh, I've gotten you know, tickets in the past, then unless you find a way to actually be aware with that thought and dissolve it, and that being aware literally brings it to the light, and then you start seeing how silly it is, that's when it really just starts to dissolve and go away.
I agree. You said awareness. I feel like you shouldn't, like, completely just, like, destroy your fear and become the sage of rock and just, like, no, I'm not a fearless human being. I feel like you should exactly be aware, just experience these emotions, feel the anxiety, feel the anger, feel all these emotions, and instead of trying to, like, destroy them, just accept and, like, witness them and see that you're feeling this way, and just don't discriminate against yourself. Just accepting them. You're feeling this way at this time. It just is. You see how angry you get, see how fear you get, but then just let it be and just roll out. Let the emotion unfold to the next, because you're not constantly going to stay this way. Obviously, everything's changing, everything's impermanent. But don't fight against it.
That's the worst thing, that creates illnesses.
Exactly, that's from.
And, you know, it's a practice. It doesn't come overnight, because, I mean, the things that I was afraid of, again, 5 years ago, they were so stupid and ridiculous and stuff like that. So the more you start practicing, the more you start bringing into the light, the less you'll be afraid. And I'm not going to tell you that to dissolve fear from the beginning of your life, is that bliss? It probably is. There's a lot of spiritual spirits that do it. But I feel like fear also helps you grow and evolve. I feel like when you're afraid, that's part of your human characteristic and personality, right? But it's how you react to it, right? And so the ways that I've seen that I've been able to demolish my fears, because let me tell you, running away into eating something is not going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel better for 5 minutes, and that's it. Drinking something, 5 minutes, and that's it. Doing anything that will take your mind away from it, your escape mechanisms, all of those things will start to turn old. And then your body, because our human bodies and our consciousness are forever evolving. And if you're not evolving, you're dying, pretty much. And so you're going to learn with time and practice how to become more aware. For me, it's only been through meditation that I've learned to become more aware. Because some of the meditations that I've done, it takes you outside of your body, and it actually teaches you to become aware of the perceiver, you know, the person who's feeling these feelings. Who's thinking these thoughts? What's really happening here? And so through meditation, you start to teach yourself how to become more aware. And this is the crazy part.
There's also a lot of different meditations.
Well, I'm just telling you my own personal experience. You know, in my meditation, all I do is what I used to do when I first started getting into meditation. I think I said this before, was anytime I was feeling anything, I would just go to YouTube and I would say meditation about removing fear, meditation about gratitude, meditation about peace, whatever it is that you're feeling. And through that, then you can really start training your mind to start looking at things in through different eyes. Because to me, especially because of Course in Miracles, fear is an illusion. Fear is where you're thinking out of the left side of the brain, is what they call it in some places. But what it is that it's not real. It doesn't exist. And your purpose in this world is, when you do feel the fear, is to kind of transcend and dissolve it, so that you're able to grow as a spirit and move on. It's almost like I feel like people die a lot of times because they've hit a plateau as far as what they do with their fear. They've almost accepted it. Let's go into talk a little bit about an illness, right? We talked about a lot of easy stuff, like a job or whatever. But what if you have a death, you know, a horrible illness like cancer that your doctor has told you, you know, you're going to die in 3 years. I'm sorry, in 3 days or 3 months. 3 years, they're going to be like, yeah, I'm glad. But when you're dealing with something like that, the thing that we forget is that there's so many miracles of people that have been miraculously healed. The future of God shows a lot of those. And we don't believe that. All we believe is the other side. So we're living in this dark illusion, thinking that, you know, our body, we're going to let it go and die because there's no hope, right? Instead of saying, I don't care what you're telling me in front of me, doctor. It doesn't matter. I have faith, you know. Eventually, we're all going to die, right? But it's what you do and how you react to those news at the moment. And the only way you're going to be able to react is by being aware. And the only way you're going to be aware is by going to your still moment. I don't care if you don't meditate or don't pray, but if you're in a quiet moment, you literally start watching all the crazy shit your mind comes up with. And then you're like, who is that? Who's thinking all of that? And A Course in Miracles says, fear is an illusion. Love is the answer. So you need to start training your mind. That's why I love it. It's psychotherapy. To understand that when you start feeling those feelings and emotions of fear, then you're not in, you're seen through an illusion. You're not seen through the eyes of truth.
And when you say you, we're talking about our own selves too, correct?
Because we're that, me, that's all I'm talking about. Yeah. The only reason we're even doing this podcast is because I feel like a lot of people tell me that they think that I'm fearless, that I don't care, that I just go and do all this. Little do they know how afraid I am. By the way, also even one of the biggest fears is public speaking, right? Tony Robbins has gone up there and said that he's one of the biggest motivational speakers. He still would get afraid in going up there in front of 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people, whatever it was. You know, there's people, there's artists that still get nervous and they still get up there and it still happens to them. It doesn't, I do believe that you can live completely without fear, because when you live completely without fear and you're alive in this, I think the yogis did that a lot, then that means you've gone back to your natural state. And Deepak Chopra said that, you know, you've gone down back to your natural state of understanding who you truly are. You know, I feel like a gratitude and appreciation comes with that, because if you realize, hey, I'm going to transcend this body, I'm going to let go of this body and I'm going to die, you know, I should be very grateful in this existence, and I should see everything around me as grace. I should see the trees, that they provide my oxygen. I should see all of that, right?
Instead of distractions?
Instead of distractions.
There's this thing in Buddhism called the 10,000 things, and 10,000 back then was like 10,000 is infinity, because it was such a large amount of them back then. There's no numbers that went past it. And the 10,000 things is pretty much all the thoughts, all the things that we constantly go through, all the distractions that we constantly have. And that's in what you're saying is you're transcending all those thoughts and distractions. You're coming back to still and back to your source and returning to that spot.
Exactly. Well, think about a child, a baby. When a baby is born, free. A baby, disconnects from the parent, and from the umbilical cord. I think it's very symbolic. Comes into this world, and then it's conditioned by parents. Absolutely. I'm your parent. I condition you, right? And I think now that I see it that way, I feel like it's a great honor. I wish I would have realized that, like, when you were little, although I believe everything's perfect, and I've done a damn good job raising you, might I add, and your brother. But I think that, you know, we're fed these fears. It could be something simple as, let's say your mom, what if I would have been attacked by a dog one day? And then I instilled those fears in you because I didn't want you to get bit by a dog. And, of course, reliving that in my lifetime, right? And it's not a coincidence that perhaps one day maybe you're going to be bit by a dog, because that was it's in our aura. It's in our energy field, because that's what we've lived. So I think the biggest thing also in demolishing fear is to realize that you're not your past, you know, that at every moment that you have the ability to evolve and to grow. And that, you know, a lot of spiritual books are so beautiful and they come with all this love and everything. And the reason I love Shambhala so much, Shambhala. I never say it right, is that they don't sugarcoat this thing called life. They don't say, oh, pretty, pretty, pretty. It's like almost like I love the way he just portrays this book, and it says, you know, life can be messy. Life can have its challenges, you know. Life will have death, and life will have loss sometimes if you see it that way. If you don't see it that way, like, when people die, why do we cry instead of celebrate their life, you know? It's going to have those things. But you have to be really armed and ready to face anything as a spiritual warrior and cut the cords that keep you attached to that. Easier said than done, believe me, because now, once I started reading, I haven't even read the second part yet, which is insanity. I started learning the first part, which is what's a spiritual warrior is in the first part. And then the second part is how to actually do it.
you mentioned, we've talked about the spiritual warrior before, right? And how it's not just about like the person that goes out there and fights and kills.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that.
I mean,
a spiritual warrior is a warrior within yourself. You're literally fighting your mind, yourself, the way I see it.
Warriors, in the Shambhala, it's taken from the Tibetan word pao, which literally means one who is brave. So that's what we're talking about, warriorship.
And that's one thing that I realized when I left, I had to go, you know, and be with my mother, who, again, brave, courageous woman who never sits still, and going over there and realizing that I had never really left my comfort zone. I had created a cocoon within my home that would protect me from the things that I really was afraid of. And that going there, I had to face it. And I had to find a way to calm my mind through the process, free of anything that could help me outside of me. I'm sorry. You know, the only thing that I had inside of me was me, my consciousness. That was all that I had. And that's when I started learning the true meaning of a spiritual warrior, because there was nothing outside of me that I was fighting. I couldn't fight my mom's illness. I couldn't fight my grandma being there, super old, also pobrecita, you know, she's like in her late 80s, she suffers from osteoarthritis and her pain, you know. I couldn't hide from all her uncles and aunts that would come and visit her, that were all sick. I couldn't go into a corner and hide any longer. I had to really just kind of face it.
Just had to ride the wave.
And yeah, ride the wave and not let my conscience, you know, one of the things that I did learn was to be more quiet. You know, over here I'm very boisterous and everything like that, but I think just not having anything to help me, and just I had to be very present, and I had to be very very respectful, I feel like, because they were older people, and I feel like they're so wise. Like, even if they don't talk, just looking at them in their eyes is like enough, you know what I mean? Like, it just feels like, wow, you have such a story. And that's another thing that I really learned, like, every single one of us has such a, like, a story, you know. They, in Mexico, they kind of go, they're very Catholic, of course, absolutely. And I didn't agree with a lot of, I went to church twice, on a Sunday and a Saturday. That's the only time I had an opportunity. There's church every day there at 7. But I just saw, and almost like they felt like they deserved their pain and their suffering. And I didn't agree with that at all, but I couldn't sit there and throw my ideas onto them, because I felt like it was not the right time. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, I learned more from listening and just observing than actually talking and saying something. And, you know, my taxi driver, who had a crazy life here in the USA, which one day we're going to bring into light all those monstrosities that he went through in prison and here for being accused or something wrongfully, but just the stuff that he went through, you know, even with him, it started with him picking me up from the airport. I didn't talk. He talked the whole way. So it was almost like it was this time away of just listening to other people, observing them, and then figuring out how I could help myself and them just by being present. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. Definitely.
And then a lot of people, you know, when it comes to fear, they want to take action. They want to fight it, like you said, instead of just like being with it. I think the more you fight it, the more you're going to create it. Like, when you look at something and you don't want it in your life, then you know you don't want it, that the more you freaking bring it on. But if you look at it, what you're afraid of, and you face it, and you actually, you know, you don't run away from it. When you face it, then you rise. Then you rise.
Instead of putting barriers into it, we put all this work into, like, building these walls to protect us against fear, instead of just actually just seeing it and going past it and going through it, and instead of restricting it from it.
Yeah, and, you know, we look at a lot of things, fear, like anger, like absolute injustice and all that. And, you know, Gandhi says that the enemy is really fear. A lot of us think that it's hate and anger and all this stuff. But Gandhi's saying, you know, our biggest enemy is fear. Because the reason that we have chaos in this world is because somebody is afraid of them losing something. Somebody is afraid. If there's war, it's because they're afraid of losing power and control. If there is hunger and starvation, somebody's afraid that they're not going to eat enough and that that other person is going to eat their food. If there's any type of that's your enemy. It's not jealousy, it's not envy, it's not anything else. It's really the fact is that
But you don't think all those emotions is tied into together?
Like, yeah, but fear is fear.
Fear is the root of it all.
Fear is the root of it. There's only two things in this world, fear or love. There is anger, but that stems from fear. Why are you angry? You're afraid that this person's going to hurt you, right? Why are you jealous? You're afraid that this person's going to take from you. Everything stems back to this word fear. Everything does. And is it possible to live without fear? I think so. Absolutely. Yogis do it all the time. I mean, you don't have to renounce the world. I don't want people. Renouncing the world to me is those that go away into a cave. We've talked about this. Go away into a cave and they're literally just praying. And I mean, the people in Crescent in Colorado that we met, they actually didn't go to a cave, but they had this beautiful monastery or chapel or what do you call it? A sanctuary?
Ashram? I don't know.
The place,
a temple. Sure.
And you know, every day, regardless of what day it is, they pray for other people there. You know, that's their destiny and that's their calling, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they're here to do. And if you have a really loud voice telling you to do that, and that's what you should do, you know? But, you know, what about the fact that we also need to be, and not be, like I told you, like a million times, you know, in this world but not of it, but actually be part of this world to share the light, to spread the love, so that we can start dissolving more and more fears. You know, when you start knowing who you truly are, when you start loving yourself unconditionally and fully, you will eliminate all fears. And one person, and it's the same author of Shambhala, Shogam Trompa. You know how to say it. How do you say it?
Shogam Trompa?
You guys, if you have Netflix, you need to watch his documentary because, you know, once I started watching it, I started really feeling really comfortable with who I am. He was a great enlightened teacher.
The documentary is called Crazy Wisdom.
What's it called?
Crazy Wisdom.
And he basically was not your conventional spiritual leader. He actually drank a lot.
There was drugs and partying
and all of this stuff. But he gave his best lectures when he was drinking.
Not even that. He was just a part of it. There was nothing that didn't make any his lessons worse or better. It was just him being him. I love the fact that he didn't like conform and follow. He wasn't following the rules or anything. People looked down on him. Oh, he was a bad guy. Oh, he did these things. But no, he was just himself, and he didn't let other people's opinions restrict who he is.
And he started hundreds of meditation centers in the U.S. You know, he
created Naropa where I'm going to go to.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Naropa Institute, where apparently you're going to. And that was fear of me, too, because I'm like, who is this guy? And why doesn't he just want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something easier, you know, that makes him a lot of money and all stuff? And if I was, and I would have listened to my fear, then I would force you to do that, and then you would be an unhappy human being. We don't need more doctors in this world. We don't need more lawyers. We don't need freaking more engineers. I mean, that's great that they're here, but what we need is we need a spiritual warriorship to just rise and to just get together. And what this means is love unconditionally, you know? Stop being so afraid of all these things outside of you. By the way, your dad told me that he read somewhere that 99% of your fears don't come through and don't even come true. So the 1% or the 0.1 is death, probably. That's the only one.
I don't know how they got the statistic, but I guess I get the point.
The only reason they'll come true is if you
create our
continue.
Own problems.
Yes, the only reason they're going to come true is if you continue to focus on them. And then, you know, during these last few weeks, it has not just been about facing those fears about illness and death. I had to face a lot of fears in business and, you know, finally just taking care of my shit, cleaning up my act. Because if you don't do that, then guess what? That fear is going to be, it's going to take your peace. You're going to fight with your husband and kids. You're going to be complete. Whatever it is that's holding you back, you need to sit down right now. That's what I did literally like 2 months ago when I had to just take care of all my stuff so that I could feel at peace. You know, otherwise we wouldn't be able to plan for this amazing summer, right? You guys are finally on summer vacation. We can enjoy, I can condition you from home instead of you going to the school and then they condition you and then you coming home and then I got to condition you here. you know, I uncondition you and then condition you back to what I want you to be. So now we have this amazing summer, and I thought, I want to get my stuff in order. I want to make sure I don't have these bills. I want to make sure I have this, this, and that. This worry that has worried me for the last 8 years, I'm going to go take care of it, whether it's going to go get a medical exam, whether it's taking care of whatever. But once you face it, then you start laughing, and then you're like, oh, my God, that was not that hard, you know? And then you face it. I swear to you, that is bringing it to the light. Then it goes away. And then you want to kick yourself in the butt for not just freaking facing it away sooner.
Or putting through your own self all those unnecessary emotions when everything was going to be fine in the first place.
If you would have faced it.
Yeah.
You know, everything has a solution. And, you know, I love the way Abraham Hicks says that there's, imagine that when you have a problem, imagine a big stick. And at the one end, there's the problem, and at the other end, there's always a solution. Because if the universe allowed you to create a problem, then there's always a solution at the other end. But your consciousness level and your mindset is still on the problem. That's what Einstein says, too. You cannot come up with the solution. And it's not exactly like this, but you cannot come up with the solution with the same mind that created the problem. So it's impossible. You know, and there's people were like, well, that's easier said than done. And where do I find the solution? What I've learned is in a moment of stillness again, in meditation, and being able to go and really, really become aware of what you think this problem is, and then asking the universe, asking God, asking whatever, whoever you call it for, you know, either give me a miracle, which a miracle is just a shift in your perception. You know, how you're seeing this problem. Most of the time, that's what you got to do. You got to shift your perception. You know, you got to look through your third eye and really rub it and say, what am I here to learn about this situation? You know, it's almost like you get to a point, I'm not kidding you, I've gotten here before, when there's a challenge, I actually get excited. I get excited because this is a time for me to practice what I've learned. You know, it's all great and dandy that you read a lot of books, that you study from a lot of everything. But if you don't practice it, it's worthless, right?
Yep.
So go ahead and read 1,000 books. That means nothing to me. What are you really doing with your life? And the true testament of your character is how you are in moments of adversity and challenge. How many times did I tell you this last week or when you were stressing out about your final? I go, you're going to be looking back at this and you're going to be laughing. And then at the same time, if you can't even face stuff like this, what are you going to do in college? You're going to crumble. You got to learn to control your mind. And I guess coming back from such a turmoil, such a roller coaster, such a complete change of my life, you know, that I thought, God, anything else that you throw at me, you know, I'm ready. You know, let's do this. And I'm not telling you that God throws shit at you and punishes you because I don't believe in that. But whatever life is, you know, there's a moment of that's been chosen to when I'm going to die, right? There's a moment that's going to be chosen when my loved ones are going to be die, right? That's probably my only fear, you know, because I know how hard it's going to be for me to tell my mind, calm down, you know? But at the same time, knowing that awakens you. And then you start taking real action, which is action from within, to start appreciating them. You better believe I've gone to see my mom every single day since I came back, and I'm going to continue to do that and take her juice and take her all that, because you don't understand. After you come out of something like that, you know, you go through depression, you go through all of that. You know, we went to the Tibetan, what was it called, the tour?
Sacred Arts of Tibet tour.
Sacred Arts of Tibet tour. We went to that before all this happened. We had talked about us going, and we went. We went to one of the ceremonies. It was called Green Tara healing ceremony. And what's awesome is they brought the monks from Tibet. One of them was an incarnation of another, I guess it was a god, out, or not a god, but a teacher, a yogi or whatever. Not a yogi, what do you call them?
It was just a reincarnation.
He was a reincarnation of another monk who was also a great spiritual teacher. The Dalai Lama had recognized him. They said that about him.
Yeah.
They did. So the awesome part about practicing different spiritual practices is that I learned from there that they, through chanting, is where you really acquire your healing. And it was this awesome, it wasn't a business center, but it was this awesome when you walked in, and a little chapel, and everything inside was green. And so what we did was it was a ceremony for healing and all of that. And when I started to learn about that, it was so weird. It was a few days right before my mom got really ill. And then when she got sick, because I had gone through that, for the whole week I did Green Tara mantras. I mean, you can find on YouTube again. And I really felt like those are the things that really helped with my own healing, not even hers. You know, it was just my own, and I'm thinking that that's probably why.
And when you heal yourself, you heal others as well.
Exactly. When you meditate and you meditate for yourself or you heal yourself, you're sending healing to others. So I never had a doubt in my head that my mom was not going to be okay. And believe me, there was the doctor basically said that we almost lost her, and my mom actually felt the arms of my dad holding her while she was going through the surgery. She felt the arms of me holding her, all of my sisters, then all these little hands that were holding her and just like holding her. She said she could feel it. And this was probably when she was going through her worst times. And even 3 days before that, my grandmother told me that she dreamt that my grandfather was trying to tell her something, but she doesn't remember what it was. So I think it was all these omens and, you know, things of the metaphysical world that I will never be able to explain. Which, by the way, Einstein says that, you know, if you ever want to understand anything, you know, you've got to open your minds to metaphysics. I forget the quote exactly what it says, but just
really?
Like, yes, he says almost like, don't trust.
That sounds like Nikola Tesla's quote about something like saying, if you want to understand the universe, think of everything as energy. But Albert Einstein? I don't know.
Albert Einstein, he said something like that. And Marianne Williamson said about this because, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was Deepak Chopra in The Future of God. He talked about this quote. And the reason he said that was because, you know, he was a brilliant man. Yet everybody's so tied up in freaking science. How about, you know, understanding that maybe you'll never understand everything and that maybe there is this mystery out there that, literally, we will never be able to grasp on, and then maybe we should have some respect for it too, you know, because you woke up this morning and this tree still started growing. There was a sky. Gravity didn't go away. Your body didn't go up into space. The earth is still spinning. You know, I think we just take so much for granted, you know?
Yeah. I believe that frequency that you said Albert Einstein was talking about might have been what Carl Jung also said, the collective unconscious, or also known as the astral plane, the world of, you know, imagination, where the possibilities are endless and everything exists.
Yes, that's exactly what he was saying. I'm trying to find the quote actually right now that talks about it. But, you know, he talks about imagination. Imagination is more important than knowledge. You know, this is a brilliant man who's telling you in his own words. And so why did we start talking about this again?
I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
But I guess through the metaphysics of what happened to my mother and through all of those things, and not only that, but just facing my biggest fears in the last few weeks in every way possible, then what happens is that you start developing this freaking, it's a shield. You just become a brave warrior. And then guess what? When I have to go do that presentation in front of 2 million people for the book that I'm writing, I ain't going to be afraid of that shit. You know, I've been waiting for this moment. You know what I mean? Or when you have this thought that you may lose somebody that you love or anything like that, then I always have to bring my awareness back to, well, is that the truth, Veronica? That's not the truth. And then one of the biggest things that I do, and I think Wayne Dyer taught me this, is I always say, who would you be without this thought? But again, you have to be aware of in the moment that fear is happening to you. Because if you have this fear and you tell yourself, who would you be without this thought? It's a swear to God, it's like almost like you're questioning yourself and you're like, gosh, I would be amazing without this thought. So being fearless is totally possible, I believe, and that's my freaking goal in life. Does it still happen to me, fear? Yes. I respect it a lot because I know that there's a big miracle coming with it. My shift perception in my mind.
Just the maneuver to the rose flower?
Yeah, say that. Where did you hear that again? I love analogy.
I wish I remembered. I don't know. Some Duncan Trussell. I don't know. I forget where I heard that
podcast?
From. Yeah, a podcast.
Well, what does it mean?
I think it was Alan Watts on Carl Jung. I don't know. I'm listening. I don't know. We were just talking about how bad things in life and all this, or what we call bad, what we notify that as bad, those expressions, those feelings are the manure that the flower needs in order to grow.
Yeah, so all the shit.
Yeah, all the shit.
All the shit that we do, that happens to us in our life, those are the things that we need in order to grow. I mean, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. That's what people say.
We constantly get fear of our past also. We believe we're who we were when what we did before. We were stuck to those actions that we once did. We can't let go of that. We fear of, I guess we fear of starting over. I don't understand, but.
Well, I think it's conditioning. When whatever fear, let's say you went through something horrible in your past, like anything, you know, it's so hard for people to get back up, especially like, let's say they went through a financial hardship and they lost everything, right? It takes people a lot of more time to get back up. I know the ones that do get back up become the most successful because, you know, Donald Trump and all those people have gone through major. But what's happening is that it stays in your energy system. And so because you've known yourself as that person in the past, there's triggers that happen to you throughout your life that will try to take you back there. So again, with awareness, that's one thing. When I came back from Mexico, it was so weird. And your dad had gone through his own awakening here because him and I were on the same page, even though we were talking about different things. You know, he kept telling himself it was a deal that he was working on in real estate and it was canceling or it was going to cancel. And he told himself, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person that happens to anymore. And it all was okay. And that's what's happening when I came back too. It was just like, I already went through a very scary time, you know. I went through a time, uncertainty should be something that should be welcome. But unfortunately, I feel like I could deal with uncertainty in a job or in a career or anything. But when it comes to my parents and death, I feel like I can't, you know. Like it almost wants to take over me. So I know this is something that I need to work on spiritually. But the thing is that when you do start getting these thoughts with your awareness, you can tell yourself, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. And I think once we start saying that to ourselves, it's almost like you have to write it on your hand. Just for any time you get triggers, any time you do. Because I think human beings, that's all they live in. They live in their conditioning, in their past, not even in their past triumphs. Some people do that, actually, and they get really high up in life. But, I mean, at least if you were on your triumph, you know, then you would kind of, but that's very dangerous too, because then you become attached to an identification of who you are.
Yeah.
So that could be very dangerous, where the ego takes over. And I've been there and done that. And then
we all have.
Yeah, identification with yourself. It's almost like you have to do this beautiful dance right in between, where you're not completely identified with your reality, your so-called reality, because we don't even see reality, the truth of it. We see it through the eyes of that are completely veiled and that don't actually understand really the truth of this all, because otherwise we would see how amazing this all is. And either that or what was the other thing?
The world of the physical realm and the astral plane? Is that what you're saying?
The astral plane, yeah.
Yeah, you have to stay grounded too, because if you go way far into the astral, then reality gets all foggy. You know what is real and what is not. But then again, if you get too stuck on the physical realm, you become just complete materialist. And I mean, you're stopping yourself from a whole nother world.
So it's a dance. It's a dance between the astral, and when I say astral, or I want to call it metaphysical, is that you will not know it all, and you don't, not books, not any scientist, not any spiritual teacher is going to teach you all of it. If they think they know God, when you know people that say, I know God, then you should question them right away, because there's a problem.
All right, so what? We have enough time.
Yes.
This goes on, right?
Yeah.
All right. So do you know that term, the imaginary numbers and term in math and stuff?
No.
There's a number and that's imaginary, so you usually use I to put in its place, because you put that in its place in order to solve the equation. But we don't really know if it's there or not. It's kind of the same thing. This is what Jason Love. I probably not doing the Jason Luth, I'm probably not doing the best, like,
who's
describing. The guy from Ultra Coochie, the guy that we listened to the lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The thing that we bought recently.
Yeah, but you haven't explained that to anybody.
Oh.
So
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was talking about. So that's the imaginary.
So,
we place this thing in order to hold it, the placeholder to solve an equation. It's pretty much the same thing as the astral realm. We don't know what's true. We don't know what's wrong or not. But we're just putting in that place to try to solve this equation. You know. Did that make sense?
Mind. Yeah.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, but you're putting something in there in place that man created to solve something. Again, there's no certainty in that. We will never ever, you know, people study the God molecule.
No certainty in anything.
Exactly. The people study the God molecule. You remember the thing that we watched?
Yeah.
And scientists are going to be so happy when they find it. You know what? What they should be focused on right now is us understanding how to work our bodies, you know, because we were given these bodies and we have no idea what to do with them and what to work with them. Really, we don't.
I don't know. They should be doing this. If that's what they want to do, then go for it. It's discovering another realm. It's not...
Well, they could do that, but I think more people are dying right now when they shouldn't die. You know, they could live for a very long time, and it's because we have not told ourselves how we create our reality. We have not told ourselves the truth of who we are. We're eternal beings. That's what I believe. We are eternal beings that are able to, that have powers. You know, we're taking a course. This summer is going to be amazing, by the way. We are going to be doing some pretty amazing things, including a trip.
Should we say anything here?
I don't know.
I feel like this. I don't know.
I just want to tell you that ayahuasca is...
So pretty much saying it then?
Well, we're not going to say it, but...
You already just mentioned it.
There's a lot of stuff that's happening. And then primordial meditation with Deepak Chopra. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening this summer. And I feel like I'm excited to record these podcasts because then I'll be able to look at myself before and after, you know, and see the growth. This is a summer that's going to be beyond our imagination, and it's a summer that's going to be very focused on personal development. And what I mean by personal development is unleashing our true selves and not living...
Unlocking our true will.
Unlocking our true will. And this course that we signed up for, that's what they are. You take on these courses to learn about all this stuff, and we'll probably talk about one of those next week because there's a lot of stuff that I was like, no, I don't agree. And now I'm like, whoa, this stuff is really cool. So, of course, we don't want to keep acquiring information. We want to start practicing. And that's why today we had to speak about fear so that we could – this is what's been the theme in the last few weeks. And I think that I feel really courageous and brave, and I feel like I can face a lot of things. And my heart goes out to anybody out there who's going through pain and fear and anything that's holding them back from their true potential. And my prayers are with all of you because I know that if I can – move past this, then any one of us can, right?
Right.
So you can do it. Don't let anything hold you back. There's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to be talking about here in the summertime because there's going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to be learning. We hope that you've been able to at least become a little bit more aware of what fear is and to be able to say, hey, maybe who would I be without this? And perhaps even transcend it, huh?
Right on, mother.
Man, this is a heavy subject. I didn't think it was going to be that heavy, but it starts getting really, and we could talk for hours about this, but understand that there's always faith and hope, and that's the thing that keeps you evolving and moving on into this world. So never, ever, ever let any fear stop you from doing the things you want in this life, because you're going to dissolve this body, and then you want regret, or do you want, damn, that was crazy. I'll take the damn, that was crazy. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to put this podcast out, and thank you, Alexander, for your wise companionship, and thank you to my beautiful husband who's in here now, and my beautiful son, Damien, who's also here at the Down the Rabbit Hole Studios. We are excited to continue the podcast, and we will see you next week talking about some crazy, crazy stuff.
All right, Mom, thank you.
Rock on, dudes. Rock on. Happy summer. Bye.